Media meddling. When I was young, we always knew that what the papers said was true. The media could be trusted then, and all who wrote were honest men. Now,
what do you love about writing poetry?
I write poetry simply as a mental stimulant. If I hadn't started writing poetry, I'd probably be gaga by now.
Where did it start?
When I retired, I was at an absolute loose end and didn't really know what to do. And until I got involved with the RAF, my time was my own. And in order to keep my brain ticking over, I started to write poetry. A sausage is a wondrous thing, much pleasure it can often bring. Yet in my book of great quotations, nobody famous even mentions a sausage of whatever kind.
There is a suggestion that you may be the oldest first-time author, published author. Is that right?
Well, that really is a great distinction. One that I shall cherish for my remaining days. Here inscribed the names of friends we knew, young men with whom we often flew, scrambled to many angels high, they knew that they or friends might die. Shirley Slocock, who was then secretary of our association and organised the weekend at Capital Fern, asked me if I would write a poem to cover the unveiling of the memorial, which I did. And it really all started from there. Sacred graves and many rest beneath the waves. Outnumbered, every day they flew.
We're in the RAF Club. You come here a lot?
I used to come here a great deal. When I first retired, it really was a home from home. And I could come meet people in the downstairs bar, friends, every day. But now, sadly, they've all died, and or too old to come. And I come to the club, I sit in the downstairs bar by myself if I come, although it's still a wonderful place for entertaining.
What I love about the club is seeing all these amazing oil paintings. Just looking over there, there's one of a plane you flew. Describe it to us.
Indeed, I remember it well. And a Tiger Moth was the most delightful plane to fly. It was perfectly safe, largely a training aircraft, and a biplane. You could spin it, you could loop the loop, you could do absolutely anything, fly it upside down. And it was in perfect safety and very easy to land.
Sounds like quite a fun plane to fly. Was the Spitfire a fun plane?
Oh, a Spitfire was more than fun to fly. People think that people who flew Spitfires must have been above average. In fact, a Spitfire was probably the easiest plane to fly.
Tell us about how you learnt to fly.
My first ever flight was when I and a friend were passing Croydon Airport, and I saw a notice up, flights 5 shillings. So I said, come on, let's have a go. And as soon as we left the ground, I realised that the only thing I wanted to do was to learn to fly, but I couldn't afford it. And then in 1938, I saw an advertisement in the Oxford Mail asking for volunteers to join the RAF.
So you joined the RAF Volunteer Force. How did they train you?
It was really like joining a private flying club. So I used to pop out at my lunch hour, have a flight round. I actually did my first solo during my lunch hour.
How much flying had you done before war was declared?
I'd done about 50 hours flying when the war started.
When did you first see action?
I was actually in action after only 5 hours flying, and this was on a training flight, and we climbed up to about 15,000, 20,000 feet when we received a message on the radio to say that there was a bandit in the area. And we were vectored onto this thing, and I was flying the Mark 1, and the others were in Mark 2s, which was a bit faster, so I was left slightly behind. And when I arrived at what turned out to be a Dornier, the other two were gone, and I realised that I had never fired the guns on the Spitfire. I didn't even know how to work the gun sight, but I turned the firing button to on and pressed it, and there was tracer bullets flying all over the place, which appeared to be hitting the Dornier, which caught fire. and crashed into the North Sea. And I thought, what fun. Here, I'm 5 hours flying and I've got my first Hun. And I went back and landed and was being debriefed by the intelligence officer. And I just got to the bit where it caught fire and the flight sergeant came in and said, excuse me, sir, did you know your guns weren't loaded? And of course what had happened was the other two had gone in and hit it, but the fire clearly didn't start till I got there. And the tracer bullets, as I saw, were the German firing at me.
So when was the first time that you fired a gun?
The first time I fired a gun was on Goering's Eagle Day, about 80, Junkers 88s, I think they were. Came over, unescorted, and I shot at three before my ammunition ran out. I thought, this is easy. But I was to learn later that it wasn't.
Yes. And you were shot at one stage and had to bail out.
I survived until August the 26th, when three of us were scrambled to patrol Dover Dungeness at Angels 20, and we were patrolling and met a whole squadron of 109s. And as I turned towards one, another was on my tail and shot me. And what happened was I got a bullet in my leg. Behind the seat of the Spitfire, you had armour plating, and this bullet had come through underneath the armour plating and went into my leg. And also my plane was shot to pieces and I had to bail out. And I was to learn later that both the others had also been shot down. Teddy St. Aubyn, who was leading us, was shot down and badly, very badly burnt, but he survived. And dear Sergeant Ridley, a dear friend of mine, whom I'd flown with so many times, was killed. I landed in the sea, and far away I could see a wreck of a boat which was sticking out of the water. And I managed to reach this and tried to sit on it, but I kept slipping off. Eventually a fishing boat came along, took me off, and then when we got to within about a mile of the shore, an RAF launch came out, and I transferred to that and was taken into Ramsgate Harbour, where a crowd collected and cheered, and a dear old lady came forward and gave me a pack of cigarettes as I was put into the ambulance.
You've brought X-rays with you. Let's have a look, can we? Oh, I can see the bullet.
Yeah.
Just there. It's almost halfway into your bone.
Right into the middle of the ankle.
That must have been quite difficult to get out, was it?
It was. When the surgeon tried to pry it open, it shot out and hit the ceiling of the operating theatre.
Did you think you'd be able to get back in a plane again?
Oh, yes, I hoped to fly again. When I rejoined my squadron after hospital, I was sitting in the mess and Douglas Bader walked in as he came stunting in as he did with his peg legs and said, who are you? I said, Walker, sir. He said, where have you come from? I said, hospital. Hospital? What were you doing in hospital? I said, I was shot down. Shot down? Bloody careless. Bloody careless. He gave me a certain satisfaction when he was later shot down himself and proved to be not immortal. For me, there is no greater sight than seeing well-remembered planes in flight. They are symbols of the story of near defeat that turned to glory.
What children do you have, sons?
I had seven children, six boys and one girl.
Some of them are now old-age pensioners.
Three sons who are old-age pensioners.
That must have been strange for you.
Well, I don't feel that old, personally.
You live on your own, don't you?
Yes.
Without any help?
No, I do my own cooking and I don't do much dusting.
You're not a great believer in the duster, are you?
Not really. Some very new research confirms that squalor keeps one free of germs. Silly me had always thought that honey in a glass of port had kept me free of colds and chills and several other horrid ills.
What is the secret of longevity?
Take lots of honey every day. Take as much exercise as you can. Always remember that laughter is the greatest remedy for ill health.
Do you have a lot of laughs in your day?
I love to hear people laugh, and if some of my poems make people laugh, it makes me very happy.